Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
J'ai vu trouver une croissant, juste lit enchanté. Où est la bibliothèque? Voilà mon passeport. Ah, j'ai hâte de partir. Baguette.
That's totally dopey. I should start by talking in a funny French accent. Good news. Yesterday, the dollar rose to its highest level in 5 weeks against the euro. You can now do Europe on $1.54 a day. Good morning. I'm Marty Goldenson in for the vacationing Brian Lehrer. And Brian will be sorry that he went on vacation before tuning in this morning because we're kicking off our month-long travel series, Unraveling Traveling. And we're going to start with your summer vacation. As in where to go, how to make it affordable, plan it strategically, and have fun all without losing your mind or your temper, because it is possible. Joining me now is travel guru Wendy Perrin. She's the consumer news editor at Condé Nast Traveler. She's the author of Wendy Perrin's Secrets Every Smart Traveler Should Know, and she's earned her chops. At the last count, she's been in 70 countries and joins us every Thursday in May to talk travel. Welcome, Wendy, to WNYC, and happy May Day.
Thank you, Marty. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I don't know if we really say happy May Day. I mean, laborious May Day or something like that. You know, it's losing its meaning. You know? It's kind of convenient that we're talking about travel on the same week that the government began mailing out those stimulus checks. Have rebate, will travel. It's subversive, I guess, if people spend their money, their rebate checks abroad in foreign travel.
Right, exactly. Stimulating right. Other people's countries.
Right. It's not too late to book a summer vacation, is it?
No, not at all.
And economically?
Well, I think you'd have to be really careful about where you go. You know, you have to choose if you're going to go overseas, choose the country wisely. Make sure that the dollar isn't so weak that you're just going to, you know, be feeling terrible the whole time that you can't spend more money. So it's about choosing the right countries or the right parts of the United States, the right types of vacations. Some people might want to take a shorter vacation. That's one way to save money. Or they might want to downscale the kinds of hotels they're staying in.
Gotcha. Before we move ahead, I want to open the phones to our listeners. If you have a question for Wendy, you need a clarification on a fine point of your non-refundable plane ticket or some such thing about where you're going, or just give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. Again, 212-433-9692. To make a comment on our webpage, you know how to do that, WNYC.org, and click the Brian Lehrer Show page. Do that. So anyway, just getting back to our conversation. Did I cut you off? Were you about to make a point about it being not too late or to get a reasonable price?
No, I think, you know, well, first of all, obviously, there are a lot of things that you can buy in U.S. dollars before you even go to Europe or South America or wherever you have in mind. Well, you can get hotel packages, you know, where the airfare plus the hotel plus maybe transportation are all included in one package price that you're paying a dollar rate for. There are also some hotels where they've got a deal where you can pay in U.S. dollars. But, you know, I have to say, even though, yes, a lot of people are worried about how expensive things are going to be abroad, I travel overseas a lot, and I think that there are a lot of ways to be in an expensive country where the dollar is weak and still have a great time, have a really authentic experience of the local place without spending that much money.
It seems to me that those two would relate, which is the less money you spend in some ways, the more authentic.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, renting a house or renting an apartment in a city.
Right.
Or how, you know, I was just in Spain 2 months ago. It was when the euro was at $1.50, okay? Mm-hmm. I was in southern Spain, about half an hour outside of Granada, in a house. There were four bedrooms. It's a four-bedroom villa. $300 per night for the entire house. So that's for eight people that it sleeps. So there are definitely, you know, renting villas or apartments. And also shopping where the locals shop, eating where the locals eat. You know, the locals, especially in Europe, they feel really strapped for cash as well. So if you go to the food markets, you know, buy stuff to make a picnic out of, definitely forget about renting a car, take public transportation, trains.
But before
buses,
we forget utterly about renting a car, I think a caller on the line, Anne, wants to rent a car and do the best she can. Anne, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What was your question?
I logged on to several websites recently to see if I could rent a car in Northern Ireland, and the first price I got was £226. And the next time I logged on to the same website, maybe 4 hours later, it was £398.
Yes, I think right now car rental prices in Europe are outrageously high. They're the highest I've seen them in a long time. I know because I rented a car in Spain and it was an absurd amount of money. And the problem with Ireland as well is when you rent the car, you need to buy the collision damage coverage because your credit card often doesn't cover you. For instance, American Express doesn't cover the collision damage in Ireland. So the amount is you have to pay for the rental is going to be double with all of that. I think if there's any way you can get around by train or public transportation, it's a better idea. Now, can you drive a stick shift or do you need automatic transmission?
No, I can drive a shift.
But can you do it with your left hand?
And I have a collision damage waiver on the credit card that I have.
Credit card do you have?
It's a, it's an American... I don't know. I'd have to look at it.
Because just so that you know, American Express, it offers collision...
No, it's not American
Express.
It's a Visa.
Okay. You just might want to check that because there are certain countries where they don't cover you and usually...
Yeah, no, I have. I actually have checked it.
Okay.
And I've been there before, but it's just... I don't understand why on the same website you get one price at 9 o'clock in the morning and a completely different price at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Because they're getting better at yield management. It's like the airlines now. If they feel they, you know, the prices change during the day now.
According to demand.
Right.
Right.
And have you tried either Auto Europe or Kemwell?
I have looked at Kemwell, no. I'm not aware of that.
I think we should give other people a chance. Do you have a last bit of advice for Anne before we let her go?
Well, I would do some more comparison shopping and maybe look at some local Northern Ireland or Ireland car rental agencies.
Okay.
Jay.
thank you.
And thank you, Anne. Jay in the Bronx, Eastern Europe question?
Excuse me. Yes. I have been to Eastern Europe and to Western Europe. And in fact, 2 summers ago, I went to the Czech Republic and to Poland and Hungary, whereas friends of mine went to France and England and Spain. And I found that I spent so much less than them for a similar tour. And I'm wondering if that's because Eastern Europe is not yet part of the Euro system as opposed to the countries that they went to, which do use the Euro.
That's part of it. Going to non-Euro countries is definitely one way of stretching your dollar farther. Eastern Europe is definitely less expensive than Western Europe, although Portugal is pretty inexpensive as far as Western European countries go.
Good to know.
As I say, having just been to Spain, Spain is more expensive than Portugal, but it's still not nearly as expensive as, say, Italy.
Ah, good to know that. Now you've helped me to choose a place to go to.
If I were you, probably the place I would not go to is the UK or London, just because the pound is just incredibly strong.
Yeah. I'm not going to be doing that. Okay, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Goodbye. Have a great time.
Thank you. Bye.
By the way, I'm Marty Goldenson, and I'm in for Brian Lehrer today, and we're having a chat with Wendy Perrin, and she's the consumer news editor for Condé Nast Traveler. Any major destination trends I should know about, trends that you're seeing? Where are people going this summer?
Well, I think if they're not staying in the United States, because, I mean, a lot of people, I think, are so worried about the weakness of the dollar that they are going to be staying in the United States, maybe going to national parks, maybe going up to Canada.
Who has the gas money for that?
Yeah. You know? Well, if they're relatively nearby.
Walking to Canada.
But, you know, another thing is South America. A lot of the countries in South America are not that expensive. I think Argentina is really popular right now, and it's because it can be a very good value. Brazil and Chile are a little more expensive, but Venezuela and other Latin American countries. Also, you know, South Asia. is a good value for your dollar. It might be a little more expensive in terms of airfare to get there, but
once you're in Thailand, traveling.
Yeah, exactly. Southeast Asia, China, outside the major cities like Beijing and Shanghai.
That's a really good idea. Blow the money on airfare and live cheap in Southeast Asia. You're saying where would you go?
Well, I mean, it depends on what interests you. A nice Southeast Asian trip might be sort of a combination of Vietnam, Cambodia, and Thailand. A lot of people like that.
Vietnam is hot, right? Right now.
I think so.
I don't mean physically. It's a hot destination.
Right. Well, it will be this summer. It'll be hot temperature-wise. But, as I said, I was just in China in October, and it can be super cheap outside the major cities. A lot of people might be interested in China, given all of the hubbub about the Olympics.
Yeah, as we have a new caller up online. What line should I grab here? Nancy in Manhattan, you're on the
Hello.
Air.
Hello.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My friend just had an experience this past Monday. She sat in a plane at O'Hare Airport for 4 hours with her baby. It was not a pleasant experience, and then they let her out of the plane, and the flight was canceled. And she had some trouble. But the question is there a new rule about any kind of compensation if you're sitting in a plane for a certain amount of hours and are not leaving the airport and not on your way by a certain point? Do you get any kind of credit or refund?
Wendy Perrin?
No, I mean, a lot of people are fighting for that. There are groups that are trying to get this passenger rights bill passed.
Also a right to get off, I think, the plane as well, right? If it's still on the tarmac and not yet on the runway, people are fighting for the right to get off if they've sat for a certain amount of time.
Right, but I think still at this point, it's very hard to... I mean, more and more airlines actually are trying to, if they've kept people out there for a while and they realize folks are getting antsy and they're not going to move anytime soon, they will try to go back to the gate more and more. But generally speaking, I mean, cancellations are at record highs. So are airline delays. And it's basically passengers have very few rights. And
To widen that for a minute,
yeah.
Wendy Perrin, is this just a difficult time to fly because everybody's trying to make a profit despite the cost of fuel? And are the seats getting smaller and the aisles getting shorter? And
well, a lot of people find it very uncomfortable, full of hassles, just trying to get through the airport, getting through security. And then, yes, on the plane itself, seats do seem small. I think that might be, though, because a lot of us are putting on weight, that's why a lot of people are opting not to fly.
Right. But suppose you do. Is there, for example, a strategic way to snag an aisle seat or a window seat, whichever you prefer?
Well, actually, U.S. Airways just announced the other day that they're now charging. It costs $5 extra if you want an aisle seat window seat. Yeah. Which a lot of people don't like because they feel like, well, why should you have to pay more to have a different... But I actually think that's a good thing. It kind of puts the control in your hands. Okay, if I pay five extra dollars, I can have the seat.
What's the theory of the seats? Because for me personally, I like the aisle seat because I can get out, fast if I want to hit the bathroom or stretch my legs. I like the window seat on certain flights so I can go to sleep and no one disturbs me when they get out.
Sure.
And there are other reasons, I guess, people do this. And I would pay in a minute. I'd pay a premium.
Right. And I love the aisle seats too. I think one of the things that I always do is, they don't assign emergency exit row seats until... shortly before, like about an hour before the flight. They assign them at the gate because the check-in agent needs to know that you're an able-bodied person who can perform what you need to do in an emergency. So I always go up to the gate agent and say, please, do you have a seat available in the emergency exit row? And more often than not, they do. When I'm on a long-haul flight, say going across an ocean, I often ask for a seat. Let's say it's a two-aisle plane, right? A wide body. I ask for a seat toward the very back, aisle seat in the center, because they fill those middle seats last, so you're more likely to get an empty middle seat next to you and have more space. So in other words, at the very back of coach in the center section.
Wow, brilliant. And of course, you want that empty seat next to you, not just for the room, but because you don't have to relate socially.
Or so that you can put your work on your laptop. It's impossible these days to work on your laptop when they recline the seat in front of you.
Of course.
You know, so for any number of reasons, putting extra luggage there, or just, you know, if you happen to get two empty seats next to you, maybe you can stretch out and lie down and take a nap.
Also, on flying, I was wondering whether you had any frequent flyer advice.
Well, it's really hard these days to trade in miles for free flights.
When you say these days, you mean because it's summer hot season? Or?
No, I mean just in general. What the airlines are doing is the value of your miles has gone way down. The airlines are making it so that it's a two-tiered system where any flights where they have frequent flyer seats available, they're going to make you give twice as many miles. These days, it's hard to get a seat within the United States for only 25,000 miles. But if you have 50,000 miles, then they'll give you a seat. Then
yes,
they don't have the same blackout dates.
84,000 miles to get to London and back.
Yeah.
But I do love American Express, because American Express allows me to book any flight I want with these points they give out, any old flight, and mm-hmm. then just reimburses me.
The membership rewards program?
Yeah, it's fabulous. Just book any flight as if it was cash.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So the miles, you know, there are some 25,000-mile round trips left within the United States that you can nab, but the only way you're going to do it is if you take a red eye or if you make two or three inconvenient connections.
Oh, lovely. The last thing
just
you want to do.
Just what we all want to do,
Is there still such a thing as a courier fare? I think we got an email about this.
That's a good question.
And are they still a good deal?
But I haven't looked into that in years. Huh. And I really don't. I have to say I don't know.
I know that if someone says to you, did anybody give you a package to take with you that you don't know, you'd have to say yes. So.
Right, right. And also, I just think with technology the way it is these days, I don't know if those fares still exist.
Huh. By the way, somebody also wrote in and said, Marty, please tell us who did that satirical French song you just played, I Want to Find It. It's from that HBO series, The Flight of the, what is it, Concords, is it?
I don't know.
Flight of the Concords, yeah, that's where it's from. But, you know, you can do that. You can make that record yourself at home just by talking like Inspector Clouseau, you know. It's not a problem. All right. So now we've talked about flying. We've talked about, you know, booking.
Can I just say one more thing about getting a good airline seat?
Sure.
Do you know about SeatGuru.com?
Nope.
It's a fabulous website. No matter what airline you're flying or what you do is you go in there, you choose the airline, you choose the aircraft model you're flying on. Like, let's say you know you're going on an American Airlines 777, and it will show you every single seat on the aircraft and tell you the pros and cons of every single seat. So before you accept a seat assignment, or if the airline has given you a seat assignment and you want to find out if there are real problems with it, maybe there's that big black box that right under the seat in front of you that's going to take up all your leg room. Maybe you're right next to a lavatory. What you want to do is go to SeatGuru.com and check out your seat before you accept the seat assignment or get to the airport.
Which comedian is it who says, I want to fly in the black box because it always survives? I wish I liked that a lot. I thought. Now, while we're on this subject, I know that your favorite travel website, of course, is perrinpost.com because you're Wendy Perrin and that's your site, perrinpost.com. But aside,
it's a Condé Nast Traveler blog that I write.
Right. But aside from, you know, boosting oneself and one's employer, useful sites besides that?
Well, I think kayak.com is really good for finding low airfares. That's a good airfare search engine.
It does what exactly?
Well, it finds the lowest air. I mean, there are a lot of sites out there that find the lowest airfares in different ways, depending on, you know, some are better for people who have a ton of flexibility. Others are good for people who have to fly only on specific dates. I just think Kayak is a good all-around search engine for airfare deals. It should be one of the sites you comparison shop among. I mean, there's also Cheap Flights. Obviously, there's Orbitz.
Right.
I personally, what I do, I go to a site called itasoftware.com.
Sounds very official, like only a travel agent would know.
It was put together by a bunch of scientists at MIT.
Oh, like the...
And it doesn't sell airline tickets. It's not a travel agency, and that's what makes it unbiased. And it gives you the most complete, most comprehensive set of airfares for the route that you want. I love it. itasoftware.com.
Got a couple calls about China coming in. One from Phil, I think it's, who wants to know about finding a guide in rural China. I don't know if this is your expertise, but talk to us, Phil.
I've been in China in Yunnan province, and speaking to going someplace and speaking to somebody is very difficult if you don't speak Chinese. So, is there some way to find a guide, a good guide that if you want to go to rural areas?
So you want to go back, Phil, and not be lost this time?
Exactly.
Yeah. There's an expensive way and a cheap way.
The
expensive way is the best way. So I'll just mention it. I think that the Hong Kong office of Abercrombie & Kent, a guy named Gerald Hatherley in particular, is the best person for setting you up with the best guides in China. That said, it's very expensive. So what I have done in China, if you want to only spend like $10 per day on a guide, is go to a university campus and just kind of walk around and strike up conversations with people. People are very interested in meeting Americans. Maybe find a student who they really want to talk to you and get to know you. And I find they all want to practice their English. I'm not kidding. You meet up with students who want to practice their English, and suddenly, oh yeah, they absolutely want to take you all around their city and show you everything to practice their English for $10 a day.
Right, I experienced that in Kunming as well. But I met somebody who said what they had arranged is from going from city to city, they had a guide. They paid about $20 a day. The person would take them around and take them to the train and then leave them. And when they got off at the next destination, there would be another guide there arranged through some agency or however they did it that would take them around. And they didn't have to pay for, taking a guide with them the whole way.
I'm going to do one more call, I think. By the way, thanks for calling.
All right.
About China. Oh, there's no time for a call, so let me just ask. We have to wrap up, but I want to ask you a quick question. How do I get cash cheaply when I'm overseas? Is the ATM trick?
Oh my God, it's hard to give you a fast answer for that one. But you can get cash through ATMs, or you can use credit cards for purchases. Right? What you need to do is, if you're going to withdraw money from ATMs, ask your bank ahead of time how much you're going to be charged.
Ah, good idea.
Because they can charge not only a withdrawal fee, but a percentage of the amount that you withdraw. So you really need to know in advance. And it's different for every bank, and it's different depending on what your account status is at the bank.
I have one other bit of a warning before I go, and this will ring a bell with you, which is, remember, if you have a BlackBerry-like device or an iPhone where it's automatically downloading all your emails, you might want to shut that off before you go abroad. The costs can be enormous if, depending on your plan. You can come back, with a $1,000 bill because you were passively thinking, I'm not using my phone. Meanwhile, it's passively downloading all of your emails internationally. You're receiving them, not even answering them. And the money is pouring out of your pocket. So
it's true that roaming fees are enormous. It's true. Yeah.
So figure that out in advance. Anyway, Wendy Perrin, I'm not worried about that we haven't gotten through everything because you're coming back all month, all the time. My guest has been Wendy Perrin. She'll be back next week to unravel some more travel with Brian. Wendy, thanks.
Oh, it was great being here. Thank you.
Baguette. Uh-huh.